We're going to be reading through the account of the birth of Jesus as we find it in Luke's Gospel. You're welcome to follow along in the Pew Bibles or up on the screen. We'll have the words up the front for you as well. If you're going to follow along in the Pew Bible, you'll find the reading on page 1459. And then keep your Bibles open afterwards because we're going to continue reading in Luke chapter 2 afterwards. Luke chapter 2 from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. This is an odd introduction, don't you think, to the greatest story ever told? The Roman government is holding a census. Like compulsory voting, you've got to participate. But what makes this census more awkward than ours is that while we fill in our census forms wherever we happen to be in the country, in Jesus' day, the Romans said, go to your ancestral hometown, go to the place where you're from. Like many people do today at Christmas, they go back to where their family is. That's what Joseph and Mary had to do. That's where you've got to go. No question about whether or not it's convenient. And to be honest, it wasn't particularly convenient. At least not for Mary, who accompanies Joseph. She's pregnant. Not the easiest time to travel. But you've got to do what you've got to do. Joseph and Mary are officially an item, despite the lack of a honeymoon yet. So Mary comes along as well. Hands up, pregnant ladies. How many of you would look forward to a long walk in late pregnancy? So this is how far it was, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's about leaving now from church and walking to Brisbane Airport. That's a long way. That's not just, I mean, just across town you would think was inconvenient, but from here to Brisbane Airport. And the Bible doesn't say that there was a donkey that was ridden. And so there they were in Bethlehem because of government bureaucracy and red tape and all these regulations. There they were when labor pains came upon Mary. Caught away from home or not, now was the time for her child to be born. And so there was Jesus, wrapped in cloths, placed in a manger, in a feeding trough for animals. And well might we ask this morning, why does the greatest story ever told begin like this? I mean, couldn't God have had better timing? Why didn't God plan 9 months ahead and realize the inconvenience that the census would cause to Mary and Joseph and the newborn baby Jesus? Why didn't God have better timing? Why didn't he plan ahead? But friends, God did plan ahead. And that's what I think Luke is showing us here. For the prophet Micah, speaking hundreds of years earlier, foretold that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Listen to what he said. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, but God had promised through his prophet that the Savior and ruler would come from Bethlehem. Simple problem, Simple solution. Just lay it on the heart of Caesar Augustus, the greatest ruler in the world at the time, to conduct a census of his empire. So that step by step, Mary and Joseph would walk to Bethlehem. So that at just the right time, labor pains would come upon Mary. So that Toowoomba to Brisbane Airport away from home, the Savior would be born in just the place where God had foretold. And that, friends, is the power of the God that we have gathered together to worship this morning, this Christmas morning. A God who sways the hearts of the rulers of this world to bring about his promised salvation. Nothing can hinder what he foretold. No one can stand in his path. And so the ruler of the world, whose origins were of old, from ancient times, was born in the promised city, just as it had been said, Christ the Lord. Let's continue reading in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2 from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The final part of the Christmas story this morning comes from verse 15 onwards. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's no surprise, is it, that the shepherds jump to their feet and race off to Bethlehem the moment the angels disappear. And that's what you'd have done, right, if an angel army had appeared to you, filling the skies with heavenly praise. Because the question, you would have one question on your mind, and only one question. The only question you would have on your mind would be this: is it true? Is it true that a Savior has been born? Is it true that the Messiah has come? Is it true that this child is going to bring great joy for all people? Is it true? And isn't that the only question that really matters this Christmas? I mean, we all enjoy Christmas presents. We all enjoy Christmas ham or prawns on the barbie or whatever it is you have planned for the rest of today. We enjoy getting together with family and friends and catching up with how things have gone this year. We enjoy belting out our favorite Christmas carols at the top of our lungs and learning some new ones as well. All of these things we enjoy at Christmas time. But one question: is it true? You see, if the Savior wasn't born in Bethlehem, then today is just the end of a great festival of commercialism. The power of Hallmark to bring us together. And we're aiding and abetting it every year. No, there's nothing more important than to know whether what the angels told the shepherds is true. So the shepherds jumped to their feet. Whether they drove the sheep along with them or left them behind, I suspect they left them behind. We're hoping none of those bears came along to eat them while the shepherds were away. The shepherds jumped to their feet, they raced into Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And it's those little details that matter. Wrapped in cloths, in a manger, in an animal feeding trough. And you might be wondering, why is it that those details matter? Why do those little details apparently matter so much? And I want to suggest to you this morning, it's not because they indicate the willingness of Jesus, to the Saviour and Lord of all, to be born in a humble place, although that's true. I think these details matter only because it's what the angel said would be the sign that the Saviour had been born. So when the shepherds came into the room and they saw the child wrapped in cloths, lying in the most unlikely place you would imagine for a newborn child to have lain, they knew that what the angels had told them was true. And so it's no surprise, is it, that the shepherds become eager evangelists? It's no surprise that the shepherds eagerly go to spread the news that the Saviour had been born. Isn't that what you would have done had you been confronted with the reality face to face of this good news that the angels had announced? We're told there, in verse 19, that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I think we would do well to do the same, to pause, to reflect, to ponder, to treasure, to believe. The Saviour is born. It really happened just as Micah had prophesied. It really happened just as the angels announced. It really happened just as the shepherds have passed down their eyewitness testimony to us today. The Saviour of the world has been born, and there is now peace on earth to all on whom the Lord's favour rests. Does the Lord's favour rest on you this Christmas morning? An interesting question. How would you know? How would you know if God's favour rests upon you? Well, I think you might be able to know based on your reaction to the news of the Saviour's birth. Compare your reaction to the reaction of the shepherds in the very next verse. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Friends, do you glorify and praise God for all that you have heard? If you haven't, then I want to suggest to you this morning that the good news of the birth of Jesus is like a wrapped present placed under your Christmas tree that you haven't opened. All the other presents have been opened, but this one present remains. And I want to encourage you this morning, why don't you unwrap it? Why don't you find out for yourself what's inside? Do you glorify and praise God for all that you have heard and seen, that a Saviour has been born? If you do, then come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Sing of how this Lord Jesus, this child who was born, is your salvation. Glorify God for the greatest story ever told. Story that's true. A story witnessed by many. A story for you. A story for you to come to know God's favor and God's peace. Come, come with me. Come and adore him, Christ the Lord.